Let's go first, though, to the fate of former US Army intelligence analyst Bradley Manning, who in some respects is the forgotten man of the WikiLeaks saga. Private First Class Manning has been in prison for 14 months now, much of that time in solitary confinement, accused, but not yet convicted, of providing secret military and diplomatic documents to WikiLeaks. He is allegedly the source of much of WikiLeaks' public content, the Afghan war diaries, the 2007 collateral murder video which showed that fatal shooting from a US Apache helicopter of 11 people in the streets of Baghdad, and more than a quarter of a million secret diplomatic cables released on the whistleblowing website. The legal issues surrounding the detention of Bradley Manning, his looming court-martial, and their implications for the US justice system were explored last night in a forum held in Sydney. Dr. Ben Saul is Associate Professor at the Sydney Centre for International Law at the University of Sydney. He joins us now. Ben Saul, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
Ben Saul, can you just remind us, what exactly has Bradley Manning been charged with?
Well, Bradley Manning was charged originally in mid-2010, and then further charges were laid in March of this year. And there's a large number of charges which essentially relate to the leaking or disclosure of classified information without authorization. Now, there are a bundle of offences relating to using the internet and fraud, but one of the most extreme charges which has been laid is aiding the enemy.
Okay, in that first lot of charges you meant, there's no doubt he did leak the details, I don't think. He did leak this information. So how do you think the trial or court-martial, I'm not sure which, I guess it's court-martial, is likely to play out, and will this trial, ultimately about secrecy, be held in secret?
Well, the offences are laid under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is essentially the US courts martial system for US military personnel. This, incidentally, is the system of justice which the persons detained at Guantanamo Bay did not enjoy the benefits of. So mm-hmm. US courts martial are the kind of regular system of military justice for uniformed US personnel. It's got quite a lot of protections built into it. It's designed ultimately to comply with the US Constitution's requirement of due process, that is, a fair criminal trial. But at the same time, of course, it's got a whole lot of procedures in it for balancing the need for the government to protect secret classified information on the one hand, and on the other hand for the person accused to get a fair trial by being able to see enough of the case against them to successfully contest it.
Is there any sense that that hasn't happened? I mean, at the forum last night, was there any consensus that due process has not occurred, given that due process is there in terms of it being a regular court-martial, it's not being, dumped into that black hole that Guantanamo Bay legal process was in?
Look, I think there are certainly a number of concerns so far about irregularities in this process. The first is, of course, allegations of inhumane treatment because of the manner of his custody from when he was arrested in May 2010 up until just a few months ago. He was in pretty much solitary confinement for about 10 months in a military prison. His conditions of confinement were pretty draconian in terms of what he could wear, who he could talk to, the kinds of things he could possess and use and so forth. And this, of course, led the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture to raise questions of the US government. So too did Amnesty International, the British Embassy, a couple of hundred US law professors, and even a State Department spokesman who ended up resigning because of comments he made about the unfair treatment here. The other issue I'd mention is simply a kind of seemingly long delay in bringing him to trial. It's been well over a year now and the trial still hasn't commenced and charges, you know, were only just added last month. So it's a long delay in bringing him promptly to justice. And thirdly, I'd just mention, you know, there's a real question about the presumption of innocence here as well, because the US president has basically said he's guilty, and this seems to be a kind of dominant narrative amongst US politicians, and that has a real capacity to influence the independence of a military court, given that the US president is the commander-in-chief of the US military personnel on that court's martial.
If you take all into that account and compare it with the treatment of Daniel Ellsberg, it's a comparison that has been made in the past between Bradley Manning leaking those secrets and what Daniel Ellsberg did when he leaked the Pentagon Papers in 1971. He ultimately ended up some kind of national hero in many people's eyes anyway. Are there parallels between Ellsberg and Manning?
I think that's right. I mean, many people seem to admire or at least have sympathy for Bradley Manning because he has exposed some seemingly serious illegality by the Americans on the battlefield in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. He's exposed lies by the US government in various diplomatic cables which were released and so forth. So there are parallels to the Daniel Ellsberg case as well. I think until we know more about what he did release, it's hard to say whether he acted properly or not according to conscience. Certainly, it seems that there's a good case that he has exposed war crimes, and I think most people would agree that's a good thing and the law shouldn't punish you for doing that. On the other hand, it's also alleged he disclosed a quarter of a million diplomatic cables, for example, probably the vast majority of which don't necessarily disclose any illegality or lies and so forth. And there's a question there about whether disclosing that kind of information is in the public interest, is justified by conscience, and is something which the law should forgive.
And just very briefly, Ben, do you think the US administration will be nervous about what might come out in a trial when there eventually is one?
Yeah, I think they're setting themselves up for some difficulties because obviously this case is going to be a kind of cause célèbre amongst many in the United States and worldwide watching this very closely. It's intimately bound up with the WikiLeaks case, of course, and it could have a real potential to misfire or backfire given the high stakes involved here. Certainly, if there are any irregularities, further irregularities in the trial, or if he's not, if Manning doesn't get to see much of the evidence on which the case against him is built, then this is going to be a huge controversy in the United States, and you can bet there are lots of lawyers gearing up to help this guy.
Ben Saul, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Ben Saul is Associate Professor at the Sydney Centre for International Law at Sydney University. It's 8:13.